So when we hear this gospel, and there's other passages that are similar in the gospels, it's good just to remind ourselves that Mary was a perpetual virgin before, during, and after the birth. And so when the scriptures refer to the brothers and or sisters of Jesus, it is in no way implying that Mary had other children. And even the tradition tells us that Saint Joseph didn't have children either. Just in the language of the day, there was no real distinction between cousins or relatives and actual biological siblings. So the word was used universally for those relations. And also in this passage, there's no way that Jesus is demeaning or putting down his mom, his mother. He's calling to our minds, he's elevating us to the reality of our relationship with him that is based on faith, the nature of grace, and our desire to do the will of the Father. This is what truly unites us. And so as special and necessary and glorious as the relationship between Jesus and Mary was in the order of nature, that she was his mom, even more so glorious is the relationship by the order of grace, because we know from the Annunciation what she said, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word," her fiat, her perpetual yes to the Father and his will for her life, saying yes to those things which had not yet been revealed. This is the glory of our Blessed Mother. And so this is why we can say she's our model of faith, is this fiat, "Be it done unto me." And so when Christ is calling us into this new family of God, which begins at our baptism, we receive the gift of faith, which allows us to know God's will. And then we have the opportunity daily to say yes, to choose his will, to know the will and to do the will. And this is the beautiful message of the gospel today, that we, by the order of grace, are brought into the God's family. And today we honor and recognize the great saint, the great doctor of the church, Thomas Aquinas. He was a Dominican, an order of preachers, lived in the 1200s. And we could spend days just speaking of and going through his writings and his teachings and just the glorious life that he lived. The great synthesis of Catholic thought, the Summa Theologia, is a great resource for us to know what the church teaches. And even today, 800 years later, the church still looks at those writings as the foundation, the core, the greatest explanation of what the church teaches. St. Thomas Aquinas worked tirelessly for the synthesis of faith and reason, because much like today and his day, there was these errors in thought that said that there's a realm of faith and a realm of knowledge, and the two aren't necessarily connected. St. Thomas worked tirelessly to unite those. And he worked and wrote so beautifully. But you know, there's the saying of the Dominicans is that our contemplation, the fruit of our prayer, is meant to be shared. And so he wasn't simply a scholar just writing these technical things. What he was writing, the truths that he was putting forth, was a result, a product of his mystical prayer with the Father. So much so that at the end of his life, he had a mystical experience with the Blessed Sacrament. And afterwards, he stopped writing because he realized, even though he had written so well and so comprehensively, what he told his students was, "What I've written is nothing more than straw." That the immensity, the glorious, the magnificence of God cannot be contained in the human word. And so he spent the rest of his time just contemplating the mystery of the Holy Eucharist in particular. And at one point in his mystical prayer, he had a conversation with Christ on the crucifix, and Jesus said, "Thomas, you have written so well of me. What can I give you?" And Thomas said, "Nothing but you, Lord." Let that be the prayer of our hearts, that as through the gift of faith we come to know the truths of Jesus, the truths of the church, this desire to always do God's will, let us be satisfied with nothing but the Lord, so that we too, like Thomas, can say, nothing but you, Lord. Amen.